Page 88.
We began our study last week on our words, and so much hangs on our words. So many times we just talk and we don't really consider what we're saying. We make small talk. We joke around a lot. I'm not saying any of that's wrong, as long as it's something that wouldn't be vulgar. I know we could use vulgar words when we're joking, and it not be something that be of the Lord. But so much hangs on our words, and the Bible is very clear that our words are so important. And I know a lot of times I just speak and I don't really consider what I'm saying until after they're said. And the problem with that is, Brother Alton, once they've been said, you can't grab them and put them back. You can't take that word away before someone hears it. Once it's said, the damage has been done. Or once it's said, the good has been done. And so the Lord desires us, He said, that we shouldn't be an offense. Don't be an offense with your words. James 3 and verse 2 tells us, I mentioned that last week, for in many things we offend all. But we all offend. It's human. We all make mistakes. Certainly none of us are perfect. Certainly none of us have made it to a point in life where we're above sin. We're all going to make mistakes. But He said, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Whenever we mature as a child of God, we will have come to a place where we're no longer offensive with our words, at least to some degree. And so He says, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Once we come to a place where we're able to not offend in word, then we've come a long ways and we have matured as a child of God. So again, that word offend, I want to just remind us, and I'm not going to try to re-preach last week's message, but that word offend is not simply hurting someone's feelings. We can hurt someone's feelings with the Word of God. And yet, even though their feelings might be hurt, later on the Lord used that. And so that wouldn't be offensive. It would be a help. Sometimes, you know, I think about when Paul withstood Peter to the face. That certainly, I believe with all my heart, his feelings got hurt. Because I just studying Peter, knowing his nature, it'd be hard for me to believe that he didn't get his feelings hurt when Paul did that. It would have been embarrassing to him. It would have been a blow to his pride. And it was certainly something he probably had to dwell on for quite some time. And yet, it did him a lot of good. And he gave Paul a lot of praise in writing his epistles. Now, that word offend, again, not just simply hurting someone's feelings, but it's that we are, our words should never cause someone to be hindered away from the Lord. That whenever we speak, even though they may be heavy words or even though those words may cut, they should still never hinder someone from the Lord. Proverbs 25, verse 11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apple silver. I've heard that preached on. I've heard men try to explain it. I've studied it. I've tried to, what are those apples of gold and pitchers of silver? And even though I might not fully understand that, it's still a beautiful picture to me. What I understand about it, Brother Alton, is maybe some golden apples that would be in a silver container of some kind to be placed on the table. It's one of those things that draw people's attention. Or, you know, whenever I read it, I really see maybe a painting by an artist that would be a picture, you know, of golden apples and silver and all, just something that might draw your attention that way. And whenever I look at it that way, Brother Chris, when I consider art is to be something that draws our attention and something we look at and we ponder it and we try to look deeper into it. And so, regardless of all that, he said fitly spoken words. God wants us to have fitly spoken words. God wants us to consider our words that they may be a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block. I want you to consider your words tonight and how often maybe you say something and you realize that, you know, maybe God convicts your heart a little bit later and you realize in saying that, I might have offended that person. In saying that, you know, the Lord has pricked my heart and I realize that could have been taken the wrong way. That could have hurt somebody, offended someone, and caused them to walk away from the Lord. And so I need to go and get that corrected. You know, fitly spoken words are going to make a person consider. What I believe, Brother Mike, is whenever we speak fitly spoken words, they're going to activate the heart. They're going to touch the heart. And then God will use those words from that point on. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. The Lord says that you, child of God, that you are the salt of the earth. That you are the light of the world. And God wants you to be a blessing in this world. He wants you to be a blessing to someone else. He didn't save you just simply to save you. He saved you so that you could be a blessing to someone else. As Paul would say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, you know, it would be better for me to go on and be with the Lord, but As long as I'm here, I need to show the world Christ. I need to be instrumental in helping others around me. And so often we lose that focus that God has left me here so that I could help someone else. It's so easy to get caught up in the mindset of this is my life and I've got to take care of my things and I've got to do things that please me and interest me and I've got to do things that are going to work to my future and benefit me down the road. And we get that mindset and we forget that God did not leave me here simply to make a paycheck. He didn't leave me here just simply so that I could be with my family. He left me here so that I could help others. We're the church. That's what we're here for, to help others. And so we're the salt of the earth. If you don't have any savor, Bible said you're good for nothing. If your gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. And so we need to always be mindful that I could be used at any moment, that God could use me and I could spread the gospel, that I could be a blessing to someone. But if I hold back, if I hide that, it's going to be hid to those around me. It's going to be hid to those that are lost. So your word should always be seasoned with salt. Our word should never be an offense in any kind of way. On the flip side, they are an offense unless they're seasoned with salt. He said, let them always, not just sometimes, not just when you feel like it, not just when you're at church, but all the time consider your words and make sure that they're seasoned with salt. You know, I thought about the little maid. I preached, I believe, Sunday about the little maid and Naaman and how that Naaman had leprosy. But let's stop and consider her words just a minute. What all did she say? What a lot. If everything she said is what we have, Brother Alton, I mean, she didn't even have a conversation. She just mentioned, I would to God that my master would be with that prophet in Samaria. You know, he would heal him of the leprosy. That's not saying a lot. And yet, she didn't preach a message. She didn't nag him. She could have went out and said, you've got to get down to see the prophet that's in Samaria. And you know, then nag him about it. Just continue on and continue on. She just mentioned it. And she mentioned it in a way that it activated hearts. Naaman's wife, no doubt she heard that, maybe. She told others about it. She went in to Naaman, maybe. The word came to Naaman. So it was being discussed. These few words that she said was now a blessing because it provoked him, Naaman, to action. And he says, well, if there's any kind of hope, I'm going to go see about it. And he goes down. And, of course, we know he got healed of his leprosy. But she just said, I wish my master could see a man I know. And that activated hearts. That was fitly spoken words. And those few words had drawing power to it. You know, in the first chapter of the book of John, there's a man named Nathanael there. And after he meets the Lord, after Philip meets the Lord, he goes down to Nathanael and he says, listen, we have found the Lord. We have found a man and has shown us all things. We have found the Lord. And Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's critical. He's doubtful. He's never known anybody good come out of that place. And so Philip could have preached to him. Or he could have scolded him. He could have been harsh. He could have tried to be the teacher. I'll teach you something. doubt me. But instead, he simply said, come and see. That's just a few words. Come and see. If you don't believe me, come and see. But what did those words do? Those words that they activated Nathanael's conscience, that they caused him to ponder and consider, and he goes with Philip to find out, maybe there is something to this. Let me go see for myself. He didn't criticize. Philip didn't criticize. He didn't try to force an issue. He just salted the conversation a little bit. He spoke fitly. And those beautiful words activated Nathanael's heart. You know, a light salting on food makes something taste good. Seems like I've talked about that a lot lately. Because I'm having to do away with salt, Brother Mike. And so just a little bit of salt will make something taste so much better. But you know, if you just turn the bottle over on top of the food, yeah, throw it out. You can salt something so much that it's, you know, good for nothing. Just cast it away. And so just a light salting makes something flavorful. It makes something delicious. It makes something desirable. And the Lord, I believe that's what He's saying with our words, that just a little salt, just some wise words spoken at the right time can be such a blessing to someone. It can have a drawing power. You know, Ecclesiastes 5 and first few verses there tells us, be not rash with your mouth. We all like to laugh at that verse. Oh, Brother Brad, you're getting old to me because you think I talk too much. But the Lord said, be not rash with your mouth. And He also said, let thy words be few. We can argue with that, or we can laugh at it. We can question what maybe God was trying to tell us with that. It's pretty straight to the point. He said, let thy words be few. Just let your words be few. And so often, we don't consider that we're given the sacrifice of fools. I want to ask you something, somebody that's on Facebook. You scroll through Facebook, and there's a lot of junk on there, I know. And yet every now and then somebody will put a nice quote or put Bible verses or something like that. And you read that, and you say, well, that was a blessing. And you flip through the next day, and you see the same things. That's a pretty good quote. You flip through the next day, that's a good quote. And you finally get to a point where you see them, and you just keep scrolling. Or maybe you put them on there. A lot of people liked it to start with. You put it on there again. Put some other quote on there. A lot of people liked it. You put it on there again and it gets fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer. People not looking at it like they used to. It's saturated. Lord said, let our words be few. You know, we don't always have to get the last words in everything. And I know it's hard for us, many of us, to understand. It is for me. I like to always get the last word, especially with my wife. And she can tell you that's the truth. I like to get the last words, but we don't always have to get the last words. We just need to make sure our words are fit. That, you know, trust the Lord to work with the heart. Trust the fit words to be something worth pondering and wait upon the Lord to use them. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Verse 9. Then there arose certain in the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. That's amazing to me. Stephen was simply a man of God. He was a deacon. Maybe Brother Alton, the Lord called him on to preach, because he's preaching here, no doubt. And he's speaking to people, religions, and people that do not believe like he does. And yet as he speaks, even though they want to be against him and they want to oppose him and they're trying to ultimately kill him, but they cannot resist the wisdom that he was speaking. They couldn't resist that he's using God's word. And what he's saying makes sense. And what he's saying is convicting my heart. I can't resist that. They could not resist the spirit and the wisdom in which he spoke. And I'll notice these words were with wisdom again. They're led by the Spirit of God. If we're going to speak fitly spoken words, we need to make sure that they are words of wisdom and not just man's wisdom, but God's wisdom. And we need to make sure that we are led of the Lord when we're speaking, because if we're not, then we could be an offense. Just to remind you again, Paul wanted to go preach to a certain group of people and the Spirit forbid him to go. He said, okay, I'll go over here. The Spirit forbid him to go there. And as he would look to the Lord would lead him where to go speak, where to go be a blessing. You know, as you look at Stephen, if you read on the next chapter, you'll find out these words hurt feelings. These words made them mad. These words caused these men to gnash on Stephen with their teeth. It'd be easy to look at that and say, well, he offended them. Those words cut. But I'm going to tell you what they did. They had an effect. At least we know they had an effect on the Apostle Paul. Saul at this time, later the Apostle Paul. But they had an effect because Stephen heard them. And Stephen saw the way, I'm sorry, Paul saw the way that Stephen handled himself and conducted himself and the message that he was speaking. And later on, the Lord said, it's hard, Paul, for you to kick against the pricks, pricking your heart. And I believe we can go and read where Paul kind of contributed some of that to Stephen. I believe it convicted him. These wise words led by the Spirit. They were fitly spoken words of biblical wisdom. And they were led by God's Spirit and they convicted hearts. These words lingered. These words caused Saul to be converted. Apples of gold in pitchers of silver. That's what they were. They were irresistible. They could not resist the words that he spoke to them. You know, my mama, she had a way of speaking, still does. But she had a way of speaking to me as a young boy that could just, it went right through to my heart. Mamas usually can do that. But you know, there were times where I might try to lie. Brother Brandon, my goodness. Look, as a kid, if I thought I could get out of something, I might try to cover it up, I'll be honest with you. I might try to tell a little white lie. No use trying to cover it up, though. It's a lie's a lie. And she could say two words, and it get the best of me. She'd look at me and she'd ask me something. I'd try to cover it up and try to wiggle my way out of it. And she'd look, she said, okay, God knows. Miss Jackie, she'd leave it like that and she'd walk away. And I'd sit there devastated. It's hard to argue with that. It's hard to to argue with that because she's right. I may have it covered up from Mama, but God knows. And now He knows I'm lying. And what do you do with that? I know some people say, might be tough, and they say, well, that don't bother me a bit. As long as I got away with it, at least I didn't get a whipping. But with me, oh, how fitly those two words were. Those were fit spoken words. Those two words, God knows that they activated my conscience, and I could not resist the drawing power to go tell her the truth. I knew I was wrong. Mama, this is really what happened. And she said, I knew you was lying to me. I knew that. But I'm going to tell you, she could have spent 30 minutes giving me a lecture. I'd have probably been prepared for that. She could have fussed and argued and hollered. And like you see a lot of parents do, they just scream and holler. And I probably, that probably would have just rolled off my back. She'd get real still and quiet and say, God knows. Choose your words wisely. You know, Nehemiah prayed before answering the king, didn't he? I've considered that many, many times. How do you pray? Somebody asks you a question. How do you pray? And then answer them. Because if he's the king and it's that important, and Nehemiah's that scared, then if he delays 30 minutes, I'm sure that would be a problem. So I believe whenever he's asked this question, he just looks, Lord, help me. Lord, I need help in answering. And he answers the king with wisdom. And the king hears those words. And he allows him to go and do the will of the Lord. You know, the tongue is a small member. And yet it's capable of doing so much damage. And that's usually the side we look at. But I want us to consider tonight as we leave here. My words can also be a blessing, be a help. If I speak in the right way, led by God's Spirit, using the wisdom of His Word, it may very well be that I could activate somebody's heart, or rather that I could at least touch someone's heart and God direct that heart and use those words to be a blessing to them. By the grace of God, it is capable of activating the conscience and making His Word appetizing. That's what we're here for. If I'm the salt of the earth, God wants me to make His Word appetizing to others. You pray for me, we ask for some.